The lesson is from the book of Luke, Luke 3, 21 through 22. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
So last Sunday, as I was sitting back there, God put a phrase on my heart when Pastor Matt was sharing. And the message or the phrase is much, much more. And this was driven home to me by John the Baptist's words, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'll share on that just a moment, but let's briefly review. We're in Luke chapter 3. Jesus, of course, was in the temple, and now he's grown up. He was 13 at that time. And now the focus of Luke chapter 3 is Jesus being revealed to the world, to the nation, as the Messiah, God's anointed, the one set apart by God to save the world from sin. And in the minds of the Jewish folks, you know, the long-awaited Messiah who has come to deliver Israel from their oppressors and again restore Israel to its former glory. So in light of that, we know, of course, that the Baptist will come. John the Baptist, the prophet, prophesied in Isaiah, in Scripture, to prepare the people's hearts for the coming of the Messiah. Hence, earlier we read from Isaiah, John quotes, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So John's message of repentance, it was a message to really prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Messiah. It really was to stop sinning. So in other words, if you are a tax collector, stop gouging the people, you know, extra taxes from your fellow countrymen. And if you're a soldier, stop using your position of power to extort money from the people. So this repentance, this change of heart and mind really is about decisive ethical action. And it really is as a sign of this repentance, this turning from sin, purification. What did John do? He baptized with water in the River Jordan. As good as all this is, my friends, you know, there is much more than stop sinning. There is much more, again, as good as it is, the restoration of Israel as a nation. The much more I'm talking about is the coming of this long-awaited Messiah. Yes, the forgiveness of sins, of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, but also importantly, this is about the coming of the kingdom now. The universal reign and rule of God for all people, for all flesh, as it's put in John. Excuse me, I'm caught up on John this morning, aren't I? We're in Luke, as it's put in Luke chapter 3, verse 6. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. The reign and rule, the universal reign and rule of God, the kingdom of God is about forgiveness. First and foremost, about Jesus, the forgiveness of sin. It is about the overthrowing of the powers of darkness as Christ comes to defeat the powers of darkness. This is the kingdom being inaugurated and established. It comes through Christ, but hear this, it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Comes in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It really is that Spirit-empowered life that is the much more life. So in verse 15 then of John, and we read these words, and the people were filled with expectation. Again, waiting hundreds of years, the people were filled with expectation. And all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. You can hear him. Could he be the one? Could he be the one? John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit in fire. That's the difference. You know, John, of course, just the forerunner, not just, but importantly so, yes, the forerunner. I'm not the Messiah. I baptize with water, but one coming after me will baptize you with the Spirit. And it really is Jesus. When we receive Jesus, this really is the focus, and that is a baptism, if you will, of the Spirit. A baptism of the Spirit. In a sense, being immersed in the Spirit. God, as we come to faith in Jesus, just pouring forth the Spirit upon our lives, giving us really fullness of life in Christ, in God. John, I'm a water guy, but this Jesus, he's a God guy. He's going to give you the fullness of life in God. And that's really what's transpiring in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I mean, you know what? Jesus said, wait till you receive power from on high. And as they were waiting, and as they were in Jerusalem at that time, the Spirit is then just poured forth on everyone who had gathered. John Piper describes the difference between water baptism, John's water baptism, and Jesus' Spirit baptism in this way. It's a difference between a living person and a painting of a person. It's a difference between the birth of a person and a birth certificate. Marriage and the ring. Lightning and a lightning bug. Really, the fullness of life. And Jesus, of course, says, I give you the fullness of life. Fullness of life in the Spirit without measure. And so think about this. We literally read in Romans chapter 8 that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you and me as believers, giving us life. Do you believe that? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right now when we say yes to Jesus, dwells within us as believers. And so when we look at our reading for today in verses 21 and 22 of Luke, it's Jesus' baptism. And so we see the Holy Spirit, you know, coming down in bodily form, you know, in the form of a dove. The Old Testament prophesied that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would rest in full measure upon the Lord's anointed, the Messiah. And so, for instance, we read in Isaiah 42:1, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen and whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And then we hear this phrase in our reading that the heaven was open. And that phrase, the heaven was open, is kind of has the sense of ongoing, incomplete action. In a sense, the heavens continue to be open. And this, too, is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah 64:1, where we read, oh, the people who cried out, the prophet cried out, oh, that you would rend open the heavens and come down. And so if you think about it, here is Jesus of Nazareth, but here is Jesus, and the Spirit is resting upon him, coming upon him mightily, revealing who Jesus is, that he is, in fact, the Spirit is revealing that he is the Messiah. And when we say that the heavens were rend, you know, what we're saying is the same one on whom the Spirit rested, Jesus, is the same one then who will pour forth the Spirit in our lives without measure. There's a phrase in Scripture, and that is when we receive Jesus, we receive the Spirit of adoption. What does that mean, Spirit of adoption? My understanding is when you say yes to Jesus, the gift of the Spirit comes. And when we receive the gift of the Spirit, God is present, indwells us. And we start to sense the presence of God's Spirit in our lives, perhaps convicting us, perhaps giving us some strength, perhaps placing a word on our heart and mind. It is that presence of God that confirms the fact that we have passed from death to life in Christ through the Spirit, and then that adoption as a result of that, a byproduct of that, is that we are God's beloved sons and daughters. the Spirit of adoption. And with that Spirit of adoption, the Scriptures talk about a kind of a filling of the Spirit, if you will. The filling of the Spirit for the activity or for the living of the Christian life of faith, where the Spirit empowers our living as Christians, empowers us in our call to share love, to love the unlovable, and to share boldly or to witness boldly in the name of Jesus. I was visiting someone and giving someone communion a week ago in the hospital. Brought communion, and this, as we just sat and chatted, and it's nice to go to hospitals on Sunday. They aren't quite so busy. And just sitting there chatting. And it struck me. This person shared, yeah, going into this surgery, I knew there was a 5% mortality rate. Hey, 5%? Well, I don't want to be one of the five, you're right. But a 5%, and again, it just struck me. But this person also shared, you know, I had peace going into this surgery. And shared this in the context of parents who, you know, believers, but didn't seem to have as much peace in their passing. 5%. And peace going into the surgery. That's what this person shared with me. Describing not only a trust in Jesus in life and death, a trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. But here's a testimony. The activity of God's Spirit in this person's life, giving a measure of comfort and peace, and this person then giving testimony to the reality of God, the presence of God in his life, and the peace of God. That's much more. And as I was leaving, and I'm thinking, you know, wow, I get to come share communion and hear the testimony of the Spirit and the activity of God. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago as I was preparing a message on a Wednesday morning. And the fulfillment of Jesus, the coming of the Savior, the long-awaited one. And here I am, like literally 4,000 years later, you know, kind of delving into that same word, that same promise, and being able to share that with others. And I think about my own life, too, that as I go and as I live my life, whether it be going to exercise classes and connecting with old friends, that in some measure the Spirit is, in spite of me, using me to somehow nudge people along a little further in their faith journey. You know, the Spirit, of course, you know, making his appeal through me, a flawed human being. I think that's amazing. That's the much, much more life. Think about Pastor Dick, you know, certainly a Spirit-filled person, and his family. 60 years of the Spirit leveraging his life to bring forth new life in Christ. As the singers sing, and as the technicians, you know, technate. It's not a word, but I wanted it to be a word. But as they use and as we use our gifts, oh yeah, ho-hum, I'm just baking cookies. Oh, not ho-hum. Amazing when through the eyes of faith, the kingdom is present and God is using that in significant, powerful spiritual ways if we have the eyes to see. It's a much, much more life. For sure. Think about it. Let the Spirit impress it upon your spirit. However, here's a little law. The problem is we don't always experience life in Christ and in the power of the Spirit. Sometimes we often find ourselves beset by the flesh. And sometimes anemic in our service, in our capacity to love the unlovable and to give powerful testimony. And the reason, two keys to that, as I mentioned, the reason is the flesh. And when I say flesh, it's like you know what? I'm going to do this on my own strength. Or you know what? To heck with what God, I'm going to do it my way. The flesh. And so two keys here to really living life more fully. It is a journey of a lifetime, right? It's a journey of a lifetime as we surrender. But two keys to a more powerful, spirit-filled life in Christ. And the first one really is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. That's what the doctor is ordering. You see that? The doctor, Luke. And when we hear the message, living a life of repentance and faith, it sounds awfully churchy and boring, right? Well, now that I'm a Christian, I can't do that anymore. Or the Bible says, thou shalt not. You mean I can't do that either? It sounds awfully restrictive, boring. Reminds me of a corny pastor's joke, funny, not very. Can I share it real quick? You're supposed to say amen and preach it there. Okay. Raise your hand if you heard this. The guy, is he doing secret things behind my back? I'm going to have to, I need an eye behind. Anyway, guy bid the house to paint a house, 15 gallons of paint. And so he started painting after he'd done some scraping and priming, started painting, made his way around the first side of the house. Okay, cool. Kept on second side of the house. Hey, not bad. Third side of the house, he realized, you know what, 15 gallons isn't going to do it. So he started on the third side of the house just to cut it a little bit with some water. It was latex, so he cut it a little bit. And he started painting, got to the fourth side. Holy cow, I'm in trouble. So he put some more water, stirred it up, cut it some more, painting. It's like, man, I got to get out of here. I got to finish this job. And so he cuts it a third time, and he's starting to paint. And the water, you know, the watery paint is running down the side of the fourth side of the house. And finally a voice from heaven says, repaint, repaint, and thin no more. Oh! And you said amen to that. I got you to say amen to that. But hear me, repentance and faith construed negatively. But the point is, when God calls us from something, or something that short term may be satisfying, you know, alluring, he's calling us to something much greater, a much, much more life, a kingdom life. Oh, it's challenging. You will be pruned because God prunes us to call us, to prune us beyond ourselves so that we're rooted more fully in him. It's challenging. It's adventurous because you never know what God's going to do and how he's going to bring transformation in your life little by little and in the lives of something else. It's adventurous. It's ultimately a truly satisfying, joyful kingdom life as we're leveraging our lives for something eternal. To somehow be the presence of his love, his mercy, his grace in the world. To represent repentance and faith. Calling us from to something much, much more. It's an adventure. The second key is submission and obedience. And I know that doesn't sound much better, right? Bless you. If I could have this triangle, you've seen this before. Think again. I know it's kind of abstract, but the covenant is that our Father, our good Heavenly Father, is a good, loving, and merciful Heavenly Father. He desires to pour forth his grace and mercy and forgiveness and love upon all of us. And so when we receive that, he lavishes it. We receive that grace, mercy, and love. And as I mentioned then, we receive the spirit of adoption. That we are God's beloved sons and daughters. Not something we earn. Oh, if I'm good enough, then maybe I can be a child of God. God declares it over us because he loves us. He calls us into the family redemptive business. When you realize he's taking you from the mud puddle to the palace, you want to obey. The goodness of God and living in the fullness of life, you want to obey. And so we live in submission. God's got something better. Not my will, thy will be done. And we really see this briefly lived out in Jesus' life, what comes next in chapter 4. You know, we are told the Spirit, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. We wonder why. It's because Jesus' character, his identity as the beloved son is further forged here in the wilderness. Remember, Satan promised. He promised Jesus, you know, bread when he was hungry. He promised him protection if you'll just hurl yourself from the pinnacle mountain, make a spectacle. He promised him a glorious throne and rule if he'll just bow down and worship him. Satan did. Jesus has none of it. Rather, he knows. It's just been declared over him that he is God's beloved. And because he is God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased, God will provide for him. He will protect him. He trusts, too, that the kingdom of God will be established sovereignly by God, the reign and rule of God. And because of that, then, Jesus lives in submission. And you know what we read then after his temptation in the wilderness? We read in 14 of chapter 4, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned in Galilee, and a report spread about him throughout all the surrounding country. In the power of the Spirit. The same is true for you and me. I want you to see a little equation. I am not a physics major, but if I could have that little equation. We have plenty of power, all right? Power equals what? Voltage. You know, if you're a physics person, I hope I'm doing this right. Power equals voltage. Got plenty of voltage, power, plenty of the same power that raised Jesus. However, what undercuts the power of the voltage is our resistance. As I mentioned, it's our flesh, where we think we know better, or we just don't want to hear what God may have to say, or we think life will be satisfying on our own terms more so. So we resist, and we undercut the power, the Holy Spirit power that God wants to manifest in our lives. So three questions. We'll finish. Let me ask you, in light of being so beloved of God, a child of God, are you willing to live a life of repentance and faith daily? By that, I mean regularly draw away, abide in God's presence. And as beloved child of God, seeking to hear the voice of God. God, what are you saying to me about this? What are you saying to me about that? And then go forth in that, what God's calling you from, to what God's calling you to. If not, will you start each day? Starting with the Indeed or reading through the Gospel of John. Seeking the presence, seeking to hear the voice of God. The much, much more life. Second thing, let me ask you. Do you truly know who you are, who God has declared you to be? That you are a beloved son, daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you truly do have royal blood running through your veins. Do you truly know that? Are you allowing the Spirit to shape a sense of identity? In light of that, look at these words right here. We can say this with me, will you? We'll say it twice. I am Spirit-filled, glory-bound child of God. Say it. I am a Spirit-filled, glory-bound child of God. And in light of that, seeking to live in submission to the greater will of God. It's here truly power. The same power that dwelled within Jesus that raised him from the dead is present in us. That God wants to pour forth his Spirit upon us to bless us in our faith journey. So there's an overflow of life from our life, through our life, to other people. Let me ask you, do you believe there's much, much more as a life as a Christian? Huh? Can I hear an amen to that? Amen.